The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they did not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today we're going to continue the message, the essence of my message for the Jews, and we're going to continue with part two. So the essence, the overview, I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Jews. We'll start by continuing to look at points of correction of names, and we will start there with Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, which is incorrectly translated the Lord in many Bibles. We'll then look at the Almighty instead of God. We'll then discuss G_D, Hashem, and the Tetragrammaton, and other insulting aliases. We'll then discuss Yeshua, Jesus, and we will then look at anointed with the Spirit of Yah Christ, and we will note that the death of Yeshua was a miracle. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a consultant and business manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator, that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What's End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email, articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See also the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So we're continuing with the article 2021-0107, The Essence of My Message for the Jews. Yeshua, incorrectly called Jesus, was born in Bethlehem in the land of Yehuda and was therefore a Yehudite. Note that the word Jew is an anglicization of the word Yehudite. So therefore, Yahushua was a Jew, and his family and his society were all Jews. Yeshua was not Greek, and therefore his name cannot have been Jesus, Iesus. His name in Hebrew is Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, which is incorrectly translated in the Old Testament as Joshua. It means Yah is salvation, where Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator. Note also that the occupation forces in Judah, at the time of Yahushua, were Romans and not Greek. There is no reason why Yahushua, his family, and his community would speak or write in Greek as opposed to writing in Aramaic or Hebrew. Therefore, nearly all the original writings in which the so-called New Testament are based were written in Hebrew and translated into Greek. This gives rise to all sorts of corrections, some of which will be discussed further in this article. This is a really important point, folks. The Protestant, and in fact I believe, although I'm not familiar in detail with the Catholic and Eastern and Greek Orthodox and so forth translations, all have roughly the same errors. They're all roughly use Jesus, God, the Lord, etc. And if you don't know Father's name is Yah, and you don't honor Father's name wherever it occurs in the Bible, you're going to make huge mistakes. And that's why the church and the believers are such a huge, huge mess. Note in Matthew 27, verse 46, Yeshua cried out in Aramaic, which is vernacular Hebrew, and about, quote, and about the ninth hour, Yahushua cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my beloved mighty one, my beloved mighty one, why have you forsaken me? Clearly, this was his home language. It was the language that he used in his moment of greatest torment. Note that there is a suggestion that Eli, in fact, means my darling mighty one, or even just my darling. This is a measure of how close Yeshua was to the Creator. Just get a fix on this, folks. Yeshua's hanging on the stake, absolute torment and torture and anguish, and the Spirit of Yah leaves him so that he can die. He's not going to cry out in some foreign language. He cries out in his mother tongue. And notice what he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My darling, why have you forsaken me? Think about that. Get a fix on the level of intimacy that Yeshua had with his beloved, darling Father in heaven, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. And be aware that you too can have such a relationship. It's up to you. It's there to be sought and to be won. I want to talk about correction of names. In particular, at this point, I'd like to offer a number of corrections with regard to names that are commonly used. These corrections are made within the context of the reality that belief in the Creator and belief through Yahshua are represented to a degree in Christianity. And Christianity is fundamentally a Hebrew religion, as much as Christians don't want to believe that. In particular, it is not possible to fully understand the so-called New Testament in the Bible without first understanding the culture and history that is presented in the so-called Old Testament. Fundamentally, Yahushua, incorrectly Jesus, was an Old Testament prophet. The New Covenant only came into existence when he died and the blood, his side was pierced, the blood ran out down the stake, through the earthquake crack, onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Everything that Yeshua did, he did as an Old Testament prophet. And as a Jew, that's important to understand. There is so much wrong belief in Christianity that puts Jewish people off belief in the covenant of Yeshua. I can't stress enough, Yeshua was 100% human. He was not God in the flesh. It was the anointing, the Messiah, the Spirit of the Almighty on Yeshua that did the miracles, healed the people, raised the dead, etc. We'll touch on this in a minute in more detail, but there is so much confusion. So the Jews rightly reject the Jesus of the Christians. But the Jesus of the Christians is not Yeshua. In this context, it's important to understand that modern-day Jews, Yehudites, are also descended from the same roots. And the reason that so many people hate Jews is because at some level they've been more faithful with the matters of the Creator than most and are therefore a threat to the satanic and demonic realm, which therefore triggers irrational and ill-informed hatred of Jews. It is also important to realize that at the time the Bible was first translated into English, there was a large amount of wrong tradition and also intense persecution, which resulted in the translators making compromises, which have persisted to this day in the vast majority of Christian Bible translations. Again, so important, if you're a Jewish person, you can pick up and read a Christian Bible, and depending on which translation you pick up, you will, to a greater or lesser extent, find things which are offensive. And they are justly offensive. What I'm talking about here is a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator. I am not, and I cannot stress this enough, I am not trying to lead you into Christianity. I was a Christian. I'm no longer a Christian. I'm not trying to lead you into Islam. I'm not trying to get you to stay in Judaism. I'm trying to get you to take a step back, realign yourself, and focus on one thing only, which is a relationship with the Creator. That is what Jews have been seeking all along. They've just been misled, just like the Christians have been misled, the Muslims have been misled, all the others have been misled. So the following points should be viewed with this in mind. Yah, the eternally self-existing, incorrectly the Lord, capital letters. The phrase, Yah, the eternally self-existing, occurs in the so-called Old Testament, which is the Jewish books, nearly 7,000 times, represented as the Lord, T-H, capital T-H-E, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, in Protestant Bibles. The Hebrew phrase is Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, in Hebrew, transliterated into English, YHWH, represented as Yahweh, YAHOOEH, or less accurately, Yahweh, which is the more common rendering of that phrase, depending on preference. That is the name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, and his true fundamental name is Yah, in other words, YH, in what I've just spelt out there, or Yah, Y-A-H, Yah. If you do not know this name, and use it, you will never draw particularly close to him. How do you form a relationship with someone when you do not know their name or do not use it? Note that the essential name of the Almighty Yah occurs over 7,000 names. It is embedded in something like 100 Hebrew names in the Hebrew writings. Eliyah, Jeremiah, etc. For a detailed discussion of the name Yah and how it permeates every facet of Old Testament life and the names of people in the Old Testament, please visit the webpage, the Bible/more about the Bible 4/name of Yah in the book. There's also another article on the name of Yah occurs 7,000 times. Folks, there's a Jewish tradition which says that you should never pronounce the name of the Almighty because you might mispronounce it, you might break the third commandment, you might take his name in vain. Folks, he says it's taking his name in vain to call him Adonai or the Lord or God or Hashem or G_D or whatever. His name is Yah, Y-A-H, or in Hebrew, Y-H. If you don't know that name and you don't use that name, you are taking his name in vain, whatever else you call him. It is a lie that you should not use his name. He says, if you love me, call me by my true name. This is so, so, so important, especially for you as a Jewish person. It is so important to understand how the name Yah was central to the lives of the Hebrew Jewish believers up to about 2,000 years ago. So we see Yahushua incorrectly translated, Jesus, meaning Yah is salvation. Matiyahu, incorrectly translated, Matthew, meaning gift of Yah. Yahuchanan, incorrectly translated, John, meaning Yah has graced, and so on and so on and so on. It is not possible to really understand the history of believers presented in the Bible without understanding this principle. In particular, it is not possible to understand Yeshua without first understanding his name, which clearly states that Yah is salvation, not Yeshua, not Jesus. The reason instructed that the baby in Bethlehem referenced previously should be named Yahushua because that was his mission, to provide a way for salvation. Further, it's important to understand that the Hebrew word that should accurately be translated the Lord is Baal, the name of a demonic pagan, that is, satanic deity. Yet the Bible translators accurately preserved the name Baal in the English, yet totally concealed the name Yah from the translations. So not only do most people not use the correct name for the Almighty, they use a name that is hurtful and insulting. When I first became aware of this in 2000, I asked Father if it was important, and his words to me were, quote, James, how would you like it if your wife and family called you by the name of your worst enemy, unquote. I got the message and changed my vocabulary immediately. I hope that you will do the same. Fundamentally, names cannot be translated. So Baal in Hebrew is Baal in English. Yah in Hebrew is Yah in English. Matiyahu in Hebrew is Matiyahu in English. My name is James, and it is not able to be translated. If I travel elsewhere in the world, I'm still introduced as Dr. James Robertson. But fundamentally, James is an inaccurate rendering of Yaakov. But I don't call myself Yaakov because I was not named Yaakov. I was named James. But folks, we need to use people's correct names. And Father's name is Yah. It's not all this other nonsense. Further, there are limitations on what you can accomplish speaking to Yah or about Yah using the Lord, which is an abomination in his ears and his sight. Because of the above-mentioned persecution of the early translators of the Bible, Yah extended grace for many years. However, in May 2003, when it was time to sentence Satan for his sins and send him to the pit for 1,000 years, it was first necessary to withdraw all grace for the lies and errors which the demonic and satanic realm had inculcated into the vocabulary of believers. Accordingly, if you continue to use the Lord today, you will be cursed and open the door for satanic and demonic attack. Note also that in the so-called New Testament, Yeshua is frequently referred to as Lord, lowercase. The Hebrew word in this case is Adonai, which is a human lord or ruler. So it is appropriate to refer to Yeshua as Adonai. However, Adonai has been rendered Lord with the result that believers confuse the Lord in the Old Testament with the Lord in the New Testament. And this is one of the reasons that give rise to people believing that Yeshua is the Lord, i.e. the Creator, which is serious error. Folks, as you unpick the myriad misunderstandings, misinterpretations, mistranslations that I'm referring to at the moment, you will see a significantly different picture to the picture you get if you read the Bible in most of the renderings that you get today, including Jewish Bibles, Jewish books. I forget exactly what they are, Mishli and so forth, and Living Nacht and so forth. But it's just so sad. Then the Almighty, not God. Another incorrect word in use, common usage, is God, capital G-O-D. There are numerous references to God throughout the Old Testament, which are a translation of the Hebrew word Elohim, which means mighty one, uppercase, mighty one, lowercase, or almighty, depending on context. A ruler or judge or Satan can be a mighty one, lowercase. Yeshua is a mighty one, lowercase, but they are not the mighty one, uppercase, i.e. they are not the almighty. So wherever reference is being made to Yah, the correct rendering is not God, it is the Almighty. The word God is actually the name of a pagan that is satanic, demonic power, and as with the Lord, it is actually an insult to Yah to call him God. As with the Lord, he has extended grace, but that grace was withdrawn in May 2003. Note also that God is effectively a Christian name the Jews have been forced to adopt to reduce persecution. It's been adopted by Muslims, has been adopted by other groups. It's a meaningless name. The correct word is the Almighty, or if the context dictates, Mighty One. So Yah, the eternal, self-existing, your Mighty One, is one Mighty One. You shall have no other mighty ones before him. That's the first commandment. If you express it as I've just done, it is apparent that Jesus is not God. Jesus is not the Lord. Jesus is not Christ. Yeshua is a human being. So important to get this, particularly for you as a Jew who has potentially rejected correctly Christianity, because Christianity worships Jesus. Then G_D, Hashem, and the Tetragrammaton, and other insulting aliases. Jewish people also avoid the use of the true name of the Almighty Creator by using aliases such as Hashem, in brackets, the name, G_D, and quote, the Tetragrammaton, amongst others. It is vital to understand that the name of the Creator is Yah, and it is an insult and an offense to substitute for Yah with any of the other words listed here. G_D is utter foolishness. People substitute God for Almighty, and then to conceal their error, they suppress the O as though God is in some way a relevant or meaningful name for the Creator. It's silly, folks. Take a step back and see how really silly it is. Then Hashem, meaning the name. again, take a step back and see how foolish it is and insulting to the Creator. And then the Tetragrammaton is particularly insulting. Think about it. I'm not going to call Yah by his name. I'm going to say he's the name. I'm going to say he's the Tetragrammaton. What utter foolishness. It is insulting. He has said, if you love me, call me by my true name, Yah. I don't care what you've been brought up believing. I don't care what your rabbi has said, past, present, or future. It is an offense before the Creator to call him anything except his true name, Yah or Almighty. If you have any desire to serve the Almighty faithfully and be rewarded in the life to come, you need to cease and desist from using all these false and insulting names. Remember, Devarim, Deuteronomy 32:3, for I proclaim the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, ascribe greatness to our mighty one. Also, Yeshayahu, Isaiah 12:4, and in that day you will say, praise Yah, the eternally self-existing, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Can you see how different those verses are when you put the correct translations in place? Yah instead of the Lord. Mighty One instead of God. Then let's talk about Yahushua, incorrectly Jesus. As stated above, the true name of the spokesman, prophet, and emissary, apostle of Nazareth, is Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. This is vital to understanding this man and his role and his mission. It is also important in understanding why his name is the name above all names, Philippians 2:9. Therefore, the Almighty also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. There is nothing higher for humans than the salvation of Yah. It is vital to understand that Yeshua is not the Almighty, not deity, not anything like that. Note that this name is not exclusive to Yeshua of Nazareth of 2,020 years ago. It was a common name in Old Testament times, generally incorrectly translated as Joshua in English Protestant Bibles. So it was a Yahushua who brought Israel into the promised land after they'd been in the wilderness for 40 years. There is so much wrong thinking about Yahushua. So much of what the Christians teach about Jesus is just poppycock, frankly. It's offensive. It's wrong. There are a lot of Christians who are believers who have some level of relationship with Father Yah. They are going to get a nasty shock when they die if they don't sort this mess out. Once you understand that his name is not Jesus, but Yahushua, and you understand that the name of the Creator is Yah, then it is apparent that since they don't have the same name, they're not the same being. When you understand that Yahushua means Yah is salvation, then Yahushua is clearly a man pointing towards the Creator, Yah. I really urge you to get this. And if you are Jewish and you've grappled with all the nonsense that the Christians teach, now's the time to step back, stop getting knocked off track and offended by Christian teaching. Stop trying to get your mind around Christian lies. Recognize that they have a lot of truth, but it's corrupted by all this other stuff. Take the truth that you can get from them, add that to your own truths, and get close to Father. And my ministry and my website will help you to do that. Continuing with Yeshua, Jesus. Jesus is derived from the Greek Iesus, which in turn is derived from Zeus, which is another pagan, that is satanic and demonic power. And in fact, Jesus means blessed of Zeus. So again, it is an insult to refer to Yeshua as Jesus, and again, grace has been withdrawn for this. The situation with all these demonic names is that if you persist in using them, particularly when you've been appraised of your error, the satanic and demonic realm have authority to take control of you and of your life and totally destroy your relationship with the Almighty Creator, and the Creator will progressively reject you. What would you do if people insisted on calling you by the name of your worst enemy? If you're a man and your wife persisted in calling you by the name of your worst enemy after you had asked her to correct her error repeatedly, surely you would divorce her. And if you're a woman and you had your husband insisted on calling you by the name of your worst enemy and not your true name, and you asked him to change repeatedly, you would divorce him. So it is with the Almighty. If you persist in using these wrong names today after I have told you the truth, he will divorce you. He will reject you. You will no longer have a place waiting for you in heaven. This is not trivial second order stuff, guys. This is absolutely fundamental. Then anointed with the Spirit of Yah, also Christ. Another meaningless Bible name is Christ. This is a rendering of Christos, Christoon, etc. in Greek. This in turn is a rendering of Mesach, Meshach in Hebrew, which means to smear or anoint with oil, or to anoint with, smear with a set apart, in other words, incorrectly, Holy Spirit of Yah. In other words, to be filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. So at the time that Yahushua was anointed by Yahuchanan, John, after he was immersed in the Jordan River and the Spirit of the Almighty descended on him, he was filled with the Spirit of Yah. See Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, been immersed, Yeshua came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of the Almighty descending like a dove and alighting upon him. It was this infilling, this anointing, with the set apart, incorrectly, Holy Spirit of Yah, that gave Yeshua the power to prophesy, to heal people, to raise the dead, to walk on water, etc. So all of these miracles were performed by Yah, not by Yahushua. Taking this further, the word Christ is used in the context of Jesus Christ, correctly translated as Yahushua anointed with the Spirit of Yah, or Yahushua the anointed of Yah. Christ Jesus equals the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yahushua. Christ alone, the word standing alone, equals the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, as in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, incorrectly Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then Christ, in another context, the anointed one, referring to Yeshua of Nazareth or any other anointed one. The net effect is that Christ can be applied to any spirit-filled believer, irrespective of Jewish, Christian, Muslim, whatever. So I can rightly be referred to as James Christ, just as legitimately as Yeshua can be called Yeshua Christ or Jesus Christ. And if you are spirit-filled, you can just as legitimately be referred to as your name, Christ. Thus we see that Christ refers to the Spirit of Yah, and therefore to Yah and not to Yeshua. So when we refer to Jesus using the word Christ on its own, it is effectively meaningless. The net effect of this is that Christianity, correctly interpreted, would mean the religion of those filled with the Spirit of Yah, which it is not, because the vast majority of those who call themselves Christian are not filled with the Spirit of Yah. So Christianity is effectively a meaningless religious word. So is Christian. as is Christ. Note that the biggest impact of Christ is that people think that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Almighty God, when in fact he was and is 100% a human being. This is a huge issue, folks. Christians as a whole regard Christ as an alternative name for Yeshua. It's not. It's not his last name. It's not his surname. It's not a title. It's not an appellation. It is simply a description of his spiritual state, anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Once you get that anybody anointed with the Spirit of Yah and filled with the Spirit of Yah at a level that is appropriate will perform miracles, will heal the sick, raise the dead, walk on water, etc. The problem is that people are not filled at that level, therefore they don't experience and do those things, therefore there is complete confusion and people worship Jesus. I assure you that if you personally were anointed at the same level that Yeshua was, in other words, you'd lived a life without sin, you totally submitted to Father, and you went for a complete infilling, you would do everything that Yeshua did and more. He said, "You will do greater works than I do because I go to be with my Father." You, me, all of us can, if we are filled with the Spirit of Yah, we can do greater works than Yeshua. The problem with making Yeshua Yah is that people put him up there and they don't aspire to emulate him when he clearly said that you could. I hope this helps to clarify things. I hope this helps you as a Jewish person to see the extent to which the Christianity that you've rejected, you've rightly rejected, but at the same time you've thrown the baby out with the bathwater and you've lost sight of all the powerful truths that the Christians do have. At the end of the day, stop putting a label on yourself. Just say, "I'm a believer in the Creator," and leave it at that. And a few other words that require a bit of attention. Stake, not cross. Yeshua died on a stake, a length of tree trunk, not on a cross. A cross is a pagan, that is a demonic stroke satanic symbol. See the web page, not cross, and also the web page, the miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' death. The cross is a pornographic symbol. Satan is mocking Yah by putting Yeshua on a cross and having Christians put crosses on their churches and crucifixes and crosses on their robes and what have you. Then hallelujah, praise Yah, Yahudah, Judah, praise Yah, Kodesh, holy, set apart, separate. The portion of the Spirit of Yah that he imparts to a believer when they ask to be filled with his Spirit. Then Father, in Hebrew, Abba, correctly translates as Daddy. Is Yah your daddy? Do you have a relationship with him where you can go to him and cry your heart out and say, "Father, I'm battling. Abba, I'm battling. Daddy, I'm battling. Help me, Daddy." Or do you never think of Father as your daddy? And then other incorrect words and names. There are many other words that are incorrectly rendered in English. See the web page, True Names, and other pages on the website for more information. Most of these words have less dramatic consequences in terms of the impact of the error, but they should be corrected nevertheless, as is done where relevant in this broadcast. Then I want to really stress to you that the death of Yeshua was a miracle. The death of Yeshua involved a series of inspired prophetic acts referred to the webpage, Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death. for a detailed discussion of the miracle of Yeshua's death. Headlines. A cave was excavated beneath a cliff face that became known as Golgotha, the place of the skull, because it looked like a skull, hundreds of years before Yeshua died. At the time of the Babylonian invasion of Yehuda, Judea, in 597 BC, Jeremiah, removed the Aron Habaret, the Ark of the Covenant, from the temple and hid it in this cave. At some stage, the Romans or earlier people established an execution site directly above the cave. The human being Yeshua was created by the Creator as a creative miracle in the ovum of Miriam, his mother, whereby he was conceived without a father and therefore no bloodline curses, which was critical with regard to enabling him to live a life without sin. Then Yahuchanan, John, the Immerser Baptist, a Levite of the priestly line, proclaimed Yeshua of Nazareth, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. At the time Yeshua was executed, a fourth stake hole, cross hole, was excavated behind the three existing holes and positioned directly above the Aron Habaret, the Ark of the Covenant, specifically for Yeshua. But nobody knew the Ark was there except Yah. And I guess Yeshua, because he knew why he was going to die and where he was going to die and how he was going to die. And then Pontius Pilate, the Roman emperor who had the authority to proclaim a Jewish king, proclaimed Yeshua king of the Yehudites, Jews, and he put it up in three signs. It's no miracle or mystical stuff about why Yeshua is the king of the Jews. Pilate proclaimed him the king of the Jews. Then the high priest laid hands on Yeshua and sarcastically proclaimed him Moshiach, Messiah, anointed one who was to come, and therefore high priest. The people declared his blood on themselves and their children, thereby proclaiming him the offering for atonement of sin. Yeshua declared the bread and wine at the final Passover meal to represent his body and blood, and thereby ushered in the new covenant when he died. Jews still observe the Passover meal without understanding its full significance. When Yeshua died, an earthquake split the rock beneath the stake hole and caused a crack to form from the stakehold to the Kapparath, the mercy seat of the Aron Habaret, in the cave below. A soldier then pierced Yeshua's side, and blood and water ran out and down the crack onto the mercy seat. By his sinless blood running onto the Kapparath of the Aron Habaret, hidden in the cave below the execution site, Yeshua became high priest, the atoning sacrifice for sin, and he ushered in the new covenant. See the webpage, Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death. All of this was a series of carefully orchestrated interventions by the Almighty to ensure that Yeshua accomplished his mission. The planning for this started over 1,000 years before with Moshe in the wilderness and ran right up to the minute that Yeshua died and was pierced and the blood fell on the Kapparath of the Aron Habaret. Folks, this is so, so critical to understanding Yeshua and the covenant. I'm out of time. The rest of this article is on the website. Look at the webpage, The Essence of My Message to Jews. Please contact me. I want to help you to come to a deep relationship with the Almighty. So I want to end by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. So what am I saying to you if you're a Jew? Let go of putting a label on yourself and seek a deep personal relationship with the Creator. That's what you were created for. That's what we were created for. That's what this universe was created for, the solar system, the planet, the plants, the animals. were all created so that you and I could have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator, that you could talk to Him constantly throughout the day, every day, engage in dialogue with Him, engage in communication with Him, ask His opinion, ask His guidance, pray for wisdom, pray for understanding, pray for favor, pray for revelation, walk in that, talk with Him, worship Him daily, constantly, every opportunity. That's what He's looking for from you, my friend. I beg you to give it to Him. Then key documents and a video and some web pages. Video, Why Seek Relationship? The Miracle of Yeshua's Death. The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You. Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator. Recommended Worship. The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. The Essence of My Message to Christians, also articles for Jews, Muslims, other faiths, and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimemissionministries.org. to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Those are very powerful, especially the Google search. There are about 2,500 articles in the article database on all sorts of topics. The answers to a lot of your questions are potentially there. There are over 1,000 web pages. The Google search will help you to find particular keywords, etc. The keyword cloud is an alphabetical listing of keywords in all of the articles, another way of finding the information you're looking for. The table of contents is a structured table of contents, which will allow you also to find the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. Folks, Father wants you to become His friend. He doesn't care whether you are Jewish or Christian or Muslim or Baha'i or Buddhist or whatever. He's not fussed. He wants you to become His friend. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, short or tall, thin or fat, educated or uneducated, poor or wealthy. Doesn't matter whether you've got blonde hair and blue eyes, or black hair and brown eyes, or anything in between. Doesn't matter whether you're African or Asian or Caucasian or European. Or whatever. He wants you to become His friend. He will meet you where you are right now. If you say to Him, Father, James says you want me to become your friend. I choose to become your friend. Help me to get there. You've got the whole website with all sorts of information to help you get there. You've got all the teachings, the audio teachings and the written teachings. There's a huge body of information there to help you get there. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Father, I come to You, lifting up my hands. By Your grace I stand.